And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes.
Hello, hello, everybody. It is Friday, and that means, of course, the bullpen. Well, it does this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're super excited. Got a little bit of a college preview coming up for our main event today. We also have some Wall of Shame entries and I think a decent doomsday situation. I'm super excited about it. How was your night last night?
It was good. I was still following the game over social media. I didn't do the Twitter thing at all, but
why not?
I was following it on just on ESPN when it would. So I was looking at a bunch of scores.
You could have actually watched it on Twitter.
I probably could have.
No, you could have. They were broadcasting it live on Twitter. We talked about this. You also could have made it to the game because there were a number of empty seats in the general admission area. I couldn't see like right down below us because I was in the press box. I couldn't see right below us. I think that those were mostly full. I didn't see, though. But I could see across the field. The student section looked good. We actually had everyone on the same page as far as striping the Mav. So that was good. I mean, there were occasionally, you know, people in the middle that weren't wearing the right color.
People that had overall, to get beat with a switch to be told that we're striping stadium, dang it.
Right. Like, one of my friends on social media posted a picture of her with whoever she was with, and there was a guy behind them that was wearing the opposite color, and I'm like, fail, bro. And then it was funny as well because as they were doing the Scotsman, you had a bunch of people, which I'm assuming they were freshmen because they don't know yet. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they were freshmen, but they were doing their arms in the wrong direction like opposite of everybody
that's
else.
That's always funny. Like, even when I see that at the basketball games, it's like, come on, man.
It's easy.
We do it everywhere, you know? You got to know by now. So.
But it was a lot of fun. We won 45-6. We ran the ball like crazy. Just
better than I predicted, and at least better defensively than I think we had predicted, too. Yeah, so.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I expected them to get a couple scores, but yeah, we really shut them down. Our defense had some struggles at times, letting them sustain long drives, but overall, they did a good job. The offense looked pretty good. As far as running goes, we didn't see much of the passing because it was windy and they didn't need to. So we'll have to wait and see how our passing game looks. But I did see some flashes of what could be a good passing game. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. The new press box is sweet. The Jumbotron is sweet.
Yeah.
Well,
you can watch that thing from, like, the cemetery.
I don't know why you'd want to watch it from the cemetery.
Well, I mean, just like how far away you can see it.
Maybe next to the cemetery would be a better idea.
Yeah, I'd prefer watching it in the cemetery, actually.
You would. No, I don't think. I think the hill actually blocks it from that spot. But from that far away, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You can see it clearly, clear as day, from the street outside the stadium.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot of fun. Devontae Mays had himself a night. 18 carries, 208 yards, and three touchdowns. And we had four running backs score touchdowns last night.
Jeez.
So
everybody's getting a good look.
Yeah.
So.
And so Tony Lindsay. He has kind of become the number two running back at this point. Lawan Hunt only had two carries, which was kind of a surprise. I don't know if maybe he's fighting back from an injury and they didn't want to overuse him, or if he just has lost his place on the depth chart. But Tony Lindsay was the number two guy last night, and he did a pretty good job. I think he finished with 90 yards rushing, more or less, and he had a touchdown. Lawan Hunt had two carries. One went for a touchdown. It was 9 yards. But then we had this new guy, Justin Hervey, and he, on his first carry as an Aggie, he busted 180 yards for a touchdown, and he's fast. So
welcome to Utah State.
Yeah, so it was a fun night and it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. It was great, and we'll see what happens next week at USC, how we come back and play against a team that has far superior talent. But I saw a lot of positives, and so I still going to have my, I guess, my optimism that I usually have with our teams. But yeah, so that's pretty much how that is.
Yeah.
In other news, Mark Sanchez did not play at all for the Broncos last night. Paxton Lynch played the entire game, which leads me to believe that, you know, that Sanchez is for sure going to be cut or traded.
Oh.
And yeah, because he didn't play either of the last two games, which means they're like,
pretty
I'm
much
not
not
paying
even
you,
giving him
you're
work.
Not playing for me.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so he wasn't good enough to hack it there. He may end up on one of these teams that has had quarterback injuries, such as the Cowboys or the Vikings. He might not. He didn't do a great job in the preseason. Showed that it was more of the same. I was optimistic about what he could do, but he just kind of went and proved that I should be wrong to be optimistic about him. He's just not quite good enough. He's too turnover prone. And yeah, so
yeah,
that was interesting. Colin Kaepernick once again did not stand for the national anthem, and then also he was joined by Eric Reed, I think that was his name. And then also there was someone else that did it too. So kind of interesting note. We're going to talk about Kaepernick and my wall of shame today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we'll get there in a little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that, I guess one of the news things that we have, we're going to be talking about in our wall of shame.
Yeah. So we'll hold that one off.
Hold that one off.
But
Utah, their offensive line did not play very well last night.
Okay.
So, yeah, they were really porous, and they were supposed to be kind of the strength of the offense, but they weren't last night against Southern Utah. But Utah did win that game 24-0, but it was an ugly game for them. They were only up like 3-0 for, I think, if not the entire first half, most of it.
Jeez.
Yeah, they weren't doing very well. I'm trying to see. I think that was mostly it as far as that goes. I guess Louisville throttled Charlotte 70-14. Surprise, surprise. But their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, showing once again that he's extremely good. He had 8 touchdowns in the first half. 6 passing, 2 rushing. And I believe he didn't play the second half, but he was just lighting it up. Now, it is against Charlotte, so...
So it's a good practice game.
Yeah.
Basically.
Charleston, yeah, that's right.
Still.
Not Charlotte, Charleston.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a team that is much smaller and not very good.
Yeah. But,
So Riley texted in, is it bad or worse not to join? Is it as bad or worse not to join in the Scotsman as what Kaepernick did? I wouldn't say that. No, I would say that it's
probably not
that Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem, which is his right.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's smart or whatever. Not joining in the Scotsman is lame, but it's also not something that, you know, is,
yeah,
related to the entire country and something that we're kind of showing our support for the country and for each other.
Although on the Scotsman, if you can't get your arm directions in the right way, maybe sitting out would be better.
I mean, it's funny when they do it the wrong way. They need to fix it, obviously.
Just like an entire sea of people doing it right, and there's like the one guy who, like, is jittery.
There was a bunch of people that were
because the freshmen, but I mean, there's still some, even at the end of the season, there's still a few holdouts who, a few knuckleheads who can't get it.
A few knuckleheads. Sound like an old man.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to find a...
But anyway, yeah, it's not as big of a deal if you don't do the Scotsman. You're just kind of lame, but it's not really... To me, I mean, it's not like the entire stadium does the Scotsman,
no.
Right? It's just the student section, basically. There are some other people that do it, but mostly it's just the student section. So for me, it's... obviously, it's a little lame, but it's to me, it's not as bad. But yeah, that's what I got to say on that.
That's all I got to say about that.
All right, as you heard, we're in the Wall of Shame now, and this is where we like to put people who have done stupid things with regards to sports, or if they are just athletes and they do something dumb that's off the field, too. Most things are free game, but I have one entry, and I already told you who it was, and do you have one or two?
Or three? I've got one.
One, okay. So we know what the two are. I'll lead off really quickly. Colin Kaepernick came out yesterday that he had been wearing socks to like off-season program that had pigs on them with police officer hats. Which
tasteful.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, first off, that's extremely disrespectful to police officers in the first place. And he said that he was wearing those before he decided to take his stance of not standing for the national anthem. But for me, it's like, I mean, when you do that, what kind of message do you think you're going to send? Like, yeah. I know what you might think you want to send is, you know, F the police. But, but I mean, first off, that's a terrible way to think.
Especially when your games are guarded by off-duty police officers anyway.
Yeah, and, like, you go throughout your life and they're defending your rights, your civil rights or whatever, and, you know, trying to prevent crimes from happening that could happen to you. And, you know, I get being upset with police who are bad cops or dirty cops.
Well, sure.
Or that use excessive force. I understand that. But when you wear socks that have pigs in police officer hats, like, you're saying that all policemen are pigs, as they like to say. I think it's extremely disrespectful. And it's not going to help you in your fight to...
Yeah.
In the fight that he's doing now, it's not going to help you. And even though it was before he started doing this stand, and this just came out yesterday, is why I'm bringing it up now. But even though he did it before that, to me, I mean, what do you think you're going to accomplish doing that?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's ridiculously disrespectful, and it's not going to help anything, because that just fosters feelings of resentment from them towards you, it already seems that you have them towards them, and it's not going to help you out. And I would discourage any kind of thing like that, where you are kind of promoting hate towards a specified group or any person, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to. I don't think it's good to. Foster hatred towards anyone.
Plus, it's like, even if you want to make a point about, like, the use of force by police.
Yeah.
Isn't there more of an, I don't know, eloquent, I'm sure there's a more eloquent way to express that, you know, something a little bit more constructive than, because, yeah, I just think all that does is, like you said, foster resentment. That's all I think that something like that does. Nobody really wants to talk about whatever issue you want to talk about, because they just think, oh, they're just, he's just, you know, he's not going to want to talk about anything constructive, because that's how he behaves.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And the thing about it is, I think that Colin Kaepernick is on his last leg in the NFL, because he's not playing very well. And plus, on top of that, he's making political statements during competitions.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I understand, you know, professional athletes needing to use their platform for, you know, causes that they believe in. That's fine. But don't do it during, a game.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about it outside of it, you know, fine. I'm sure your organization might not be the happiest about it, because they're paying you to play football, not to be a political activist. But if you are going to do it, don't distract from the game.
Yeah.
And I know that's where they're going to be in the spotlight most, but You've got enough like exposure, I guess, for people to know who you are outside of the context of football. And I think that would be a much more effective place to do it.
Yeah, well, plus it's like the organization is trying to put people in the stands, which for the NFL, you know, they tend to, at least on attendance, they seem to do pretty well most of the time. But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of a drag if you want to go to a football game, but, you know, it's just going to be filled with political messages, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, you know, sports is kind of a nice escape from
that kind of thing.
And, I mean, obviously everybody has the freedom of speech and whatnot, but it's like, I don't know, I don't go to sporting events to talk about politics, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's...
Yeah, that's... Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that they should keep it from... It's fine for me if athletes want to, you know, deal with political stuff. Yeah. I almost was saying political, and that doesn't work. Political stuff. But,
yeah.
I mean, there's a time and a place, and I don't think during a game is one, or yeah. during a practice, as is the case with these Sox. But anyway, yeah. I'm done with that.
Yeah,
calling Kaepernick, you going the wall of shame for
that's
not really helping your cause.
Is that twice in the same week?
Yeah,
that's two days in a row. I think that's a new record for coming back. But anywho, so mine is the University of Tennessee football team, ranked with the preseason poll at number 9. And last night, squeaking by Appalachian State in overtime.
They should have lost.
You probably deserve that. If you know.
Like, Appalachian State had the ball with, like, little time left. They could have gone for a field goal to try to win it, and they didn't or whatever, and ended up going to overtime. And they ended up losing because Tennessee finally decided that they were not going to lose
number
the game.
Number 9.
But, yeah, continue.
Yeah, I don't know. That's at the very least not very confidence-inducing. I mean, obviously, I know that, you know, Appalachian State took care of Michigan years back, but, you know, still, if you're number 9 in the country, you're supposed to steamroll a team like that. You know, you're an SEC team. I mean, Tennessee hasn't always been I don't know, powerhouse, like, or whatever in the SEC, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just feel like you should have steamrolled the team. It should have never even had to go to overtime.
Yeah, I mean, Appalachian State is now a Division I school. They used to be Division II in the FCS when they beat Michigan. We talked about this on the pregame show yesterday. I kind of mentioned it would be funny if Tennessee lost that, and they almost did. They almost did. But, I mean, they are Division I now, so they're a little bit bigger. It's not wouldn't have been as big of an upset, but they're still not.
Still, though, I mean.
I mean, they're not a Power 5 team. They're going against the number 9 team in the country.
Yeah.
And lots of people think that this Tennessee team could, you know, surprise everyone and win the SEC this year. I'm not thinking so after that game.
No.
I mean, they could turn it around. They could have had a wake-up call like, yeah, we're actually going to have to fight for our games. But I didn't see it before, and I see it even less now.
If you had to fight this early in the season to get that win, though.
I mean, that's not
I mean, that can happen, but.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Appalachian State, they're not scrubs, but, I mean, they're not SEC or any other of the other big conference teams. So, I mean, this is kind of. And I think I'd be worried if if I'm a Tennessee fan going forward.
Yeah, I would too, because they could potentially have a doomsday scenario. Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right.
All right. So we're going to quickly give Tennessee a doomsday scenario.
Yeah.
So obviously it didn't go as well as they would have liked on that one.
No, to say the least.
They barely went in overtime to Appalachian State. Next week they take on Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech tends to be a pretty good team. Let's give them a loss.
Yeah. That's what, they're demoralized enough that they go to Virginia Tech without their bearings. I think that's fair to say.
Now, in reality, I think that they'll come back and play a little bit better because they had a wake-up call. But for the sake of doomsday, we're going to say they lose to Virginia Tech next week. They followed up with a narrow win over Ohio the week after that. And Ohio is another one of these teams that's not that good.
Yeah.
And they followed up against Florida.
Okay.
I say they lose that one.
That's possible. I can see that.
Turn around and play at Georgia the next week. Ooh. Say they lose that one. At Texas A&M following that. Say they lose that one.
Yeah.
At home against Alabama. They're not winning that one.
No. Even if this wasn't doomsday, they're not winning that one.
Yeah. And then they take on, I mean, they do have the benefit of being at home for that game. So it makes it more of a chance that they'll win, but then again, they almost lost to Appalachian State at home. So I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to be in a better spot than they would be if it was an away game.
But nothing is safe now.
No. And then they take on South Carolina. We'll give them a win there.
Yeah.
Tennessee Tech, if they lose that, I mean, they might as well just resign for the next three games, yeah. Then they take on Kentucky, their rival. If this weren't a doomsday scenario, I would say they would win that one. But because it is, they're going to lose to their cross-the-border rival in Kentucky. Then they play Missouri. What do you think? Should we have them win or lose?
I know we've been giving them a lot of losses, but yeah. I don't know. Missouri's not bad either. I mean,
yeah.
They've contended in recent years.
We'll say that they get their act together at home and win that one. Yeah, we'll give them that one.
Yeah.
And then they take on Vanderbilt at the end. Vanderbilt is pretty trash.
I think they win.
They should win that one.
Yeah.
So let me count this up. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins.
Six and six.
Which for a doomsday scenario isn't utterly terrible, but yeah, I would say that is,
but for a team that was supposed to be number 9,
yeah,
falling like that, yeah, not great.
No, it is not. So yeah, Tennessee, because of your lackluster performance, we give you a doomsday of a 6-6 record when you had national title hopes.
Not anymore.
Oh, it's great. Quick reminder, if you tuned in recently, you're listening to The Bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah. We will be switching to be just a podcast, but just podcast starting next week. So this will be our last live show for the time being as far as doing it as The Bullpen. But yeah, so want to do a reminder of that, so next week if you tune in, we won't be on here. First off, I'm going to be in California, so yeah. I'm not going to be here anyway. But we're also just going to be doing podcasting.
We'll be back with, like, pregame shows and stuff like that. I mean, not as the bullpen, but
yeah,
we'll still be making our rounds on the air.
Yeah, we'll still be on the air from time to time. Check out our pregame shows. We did one yesterday. It is, if you want to catch it and see what we were talking about, then you can look at our website, aggieradio.com. It's up there, along with the post-game press conference and just a short audio recap of the game. They're all on our website at aggieradio.com. So you can go check those out if you want. But yeah, I guess we're going to kind of get into the last part of our show here.
Yeah.
Ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
As you just heard, we're going to go into our main event right now, which is college football. And as we mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, USU played yesterday, and we kind of gave the preview beforehand. And now we're going to kind of get into the rest of the country. And I can't tell you how exciting it is for me to have college football some more.
Entire weekends filled with nothing but football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I guess Monday, too.
Yeah, of course. So. And also Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, Thursdays.
For example, I mean, yesterday we had our game against Weber. And, I mean, there's going to be Thursday night football in the NFL and everything. It's just, it's a great time to be alive, I'd have to say. Because, really, college football is so great. There are definitely some flaws with the NCAA and the whole situation, but the experience of college football is just magnifico. And we want to kind of make some predictions for this year and kind of give you guys a little bit of a preview. It's not going to be the most in-depth just for the amount of time that we have to work on it. But we're going to give you what we can. We're going to make predictions about who we think is going to be in the Heisman contention and who's going to win, and also what teams are going to be in the playoff at the end of the year and who's going to win overall. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to talk about this because, once again, I love college football. How do you feel about it?
I like it. I'm getting more into it. I think ever since they introduced the playoff, I've been a little bit more excited every year. Just, you know. Obviously, I think they need to maybe expand that to a few more teams. But still, I think it's added a lot more thrill for someone who's not normally as big into football.
Well, it's unfortunate that you're not normally as big into football, but I absolutely love it. But so right now, we're just going to dive into the Heisman, because the Heisman obviously is the most prestigious award in the country, and going to kind of give our picks for guys. I think we decided on five guys each that we're going to do, that we think we're going to be in Heisman contention at the end of the year, the final five guys that have a chance to win it. But I guess to start out, who do you have for, I guess, your first guy?
I'm going to say this one is also my favorite overall, but I think Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson?
Out of Clemson.
Yeah, absolutely. I have him in on my list as well because, I mean, he was a finalist last year. It makes sense that he would come back. The guy is very dynamic. He can throw. He can run. He's the first quarterback to ever throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000 yards. And he's got a really good team around him, so that really helps.
Well, and also I'm loving his completion percentage at about 68. So I think, you know, getting the job done, just solid all-around quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. He's done a great job, and it'll be interesting to see if he can transition into the NFL well, because, you know, there's some quarterbacks that do extremely well in college but not so hot in the NFL. I think he might have what it takes, but time will tell on that one. But, yeah, I also have him on my list. And another guy I have on my list, another quarterback, who I actually think might be the best prospect this year coming for the draft next year, is Chad Kelly out of Ole Miss. And a lot of people probably won't really pick him because a lot of people don't know who he is. But he's probably going to be the best quarterback in the country. I say it that way because, I mean, he might not have the best numbers and he might not, you know, be the favorite to win the Heisman out of quarterbacks. But I think from the passing part, he's in a good spot. I mean, he's the son of Jim Kelly, and he's got a lot going for him. I think that if he would have gone out to the draft last year, he would have been taken pretty high. And I think he's most likely going to be the number one overall pick next year, or at least the top quarterback taken, depending on who's picking at number one. So I think that, you know, unless the team is set at quarterback, they're going to take him at number one. That's how I think it's going to go down. I mean, we'll have to wait and see how the season goes, but he's one of my picks for that. Did you have him on your list by chance?
No.
Who else you got?
So, unfortunately, my phone died, so I'm trying to remember who exactly the Stanford quarterback is. He
the quarterback or the running back?
Running back.
Christian McCaffrey?
Yes, that's him. Sorry. Yeah. Stupid technology.
Christian McCaffrey is a beast.
Yeah.
And I'm super stoked to see him play again this year. He was so fun to watch last year. And he's actually my favorite to win the Heisman. I thought he should have won it last year. I mean, when you break Barry Sanders' record for all-purpose yards in a season, you
should probably get some recognition.
I feel like you should win the Heisman just on that alone because he was insanely good. But the problem is he's playing on the West Coast, and a lot of the people that are voting are on the East Coast, and they go to bed before they watch him play, and they don't, you know, follow him as well as they do maybe the guys in the East. Now, obviously, the other guys who were Heisman candidates last year, and Derrick Henry, obviously great. But to me, McCaffrey changes the game a lot more than anybody else in the country, the game plan for the defense. And I thought that he got robbed last year. He should have won, in my view. And I think a lot of people agree with me. But, I mean, if not, it's fine. I know I'm right. but, yeah, like I said, he had the – he set the record for all-purpose yards for a season, beat Barry Sanders' record, which it's Barry Sanders, one of the best running backs of all time, and he beat it. And the thing about it is the reason why I thought he should be Heisman and the reason why he's on my list is because the guy can take it to the house on any given play. He's so explosive and so dynamic. He'll return punts on you. He'll return kickoffs on you. He'll catch the ball out of the backfield and go for six. He'll line up as wide receiver and go take the ball and go for six. He'll take a handoff for six. I mean, he's listed as a running back, but he does it all. And just an absolute beast. And, I mean, I'm also maybe a little bit biased because he's the son of Ed McCaffrey, who was, you know, a famous Bronco. But he was a lot of fun to watch last year, and I mean, I couldn't believe that he didn't win.
We talked about him being on the West Coast. Do you think if Stanford as a whole team were to do much better than expected, I mean, obviously we'll probably get into this later, but if the team as a whole does better than expected, that could raise his chances? I mean, because if he's helping lead a team to do better than what they
yeah.
thought.
Yeah, and really he did last year as well, and so that's, again, why I think that he got robbed. He does so much for his team and changes the game considerably. And, you know, to me, if Stanford ends up in the playoff, and I think that they will, like, I think that he wins it because a lot of it's going to be based on him because they lost some offensive linemen and they lost their quarterback. They still have tons of talent because Stanford just has a talent mine out there. And the funny thing is they're a bunch of really smart guys too because they're going to Stanford. You have to be pretty intelligent to do that. And
strategy.
They have great linemen year after year, and quarterbacks step up. I mean, Hogan had more wins there than Andrew Luck did. He was the all-time leader for wins at Stanford. And Hogan was a decent quarterback, but he was made a lot better by what – McCaffrey was doing in the running game. And I'm trying to remember who it was, but there was, it might even been the son of Barry Sanders, but there was like the son of a famous running back that didn't get playing time because he was behind Christian McCaffrey last year. I'll have to look that up and see if I can figure it out.
So bonus points.
Yeah, for sure. like he's also a really good back. Like when he was in there, he did an awesome job, but Christian McCaffrey is just so dynamic and so good that he made it so this other guy doesn't even get off the bench. And just insane in my mind. Do you remember other people on your list?
Those were kind of the two that I'm really pulling for. So that's, okay. Yeah.
So those are two good options. They're both, you know, Heisman finalists last year. I also have to put on that list Baker Mayfield, the quarterback for Oklahoma. Oh, he's another one of those really, really good quarterbacks that are going to be playing this year. I think those three at the top, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, and Chad Kelly are going to be the top picks in the draft next year. Assuming Deshaun Watson leaves, he still has another year of eligibility that he could go back for. But we'll see if he does. Time will tell again. It's the beginning of the year, so we don't really know, you know, don't have a good idea of what their plans might be. But I'm excited to see them play. Baker Mayfield really kind of helped that offense become pretty dangerous last year, and he's got another year under his belt. He was great at Texas Tech. Now at Oklahoma, he's doing an amazing job, and he's going to be dangerous. That Oklahoma team is going to be dangerous because of how good he is.
I think that's a boost just given how well they're predicted to do. I think that's definitely, especially if you can perform that high with the stakes also being that high too, I think that's a really good bonus for him. So.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, it's just insane. I guess moving on to the final guy that I have on this list, I got to pull it back up because I went away. Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette, possibly the best pure running back in the country. probably is that. He was the highest rated recruit when he came out. He was really good last year. He ran for over 200 yards in several games. Just doing an amazing job running the ball. I don't think he was a finalist last year, but he did an awesome job. He's not quite as explosive as Christian McCaffrey, but he was getting almost as many yards as Ezekiel Elliott. He had more yards than Dalvin Cook, who I thought about putting on this list, but sticking with five, I had to go with those five. But I guess to recap, Christian McCaffrey, Deshaun Watson, Leonard Fournette, Baker Mayfield, and Chad Kelly are going to be the Heisman finalists, if I am correct. And those are, I think they're easy picks, but a lot of people might not think of Chad Kelly. I think he's kind of underrated for the majority of people. I know that, people paying attention, like scouts and all that, they know how good he is, and they know how good he can be. But, I think a lot of people, just average Joes, don't really know who he is. And he had Laquan Treadwell last year that helped him out a bunch, but he's a really good quarterback. And, I was surprised he didn't come out in the draft, that he went back for, I believe, his senior year. But he's an awesome quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing all these guys play. We're just kind of spoiled because all these guys are really good.
Well, especially with several playoff hopefuls as well,
Yeah.
So not only a good regular season, but a potential national title to add on to a Heisman year for one of these guys.
Yeah, and that tends to be kind of a common theme for the Heisman is most often the Heisman player will end up playing for the national championship, or in this case, the playoff. You think about it, last year, I'm blanking on his name. Derrick Henry. Almost forgot that. Derrick Henry won it. He was the running back for Alabama. Obviously, he won the national championship last year. And that's usually how it ends up being. And so, really, I expect all these guys to be in contention for the thing. I think Chad Kelly's problem, and the reason why I don't think he will win that one, is that his team, I don't think, will make it to the playoff. They'll be close because of how good he is, but I think they'll be just short of it. I think they end up second place to Alabama in their division, and so they don't get to play for the SEC championship. But I think they end up with like 10 wins and probably a good bowl game, a New Year's Six bowl game. So should be exciting to watch all these guys play. And I guess shifting gears into the playoffs since we kind of brought it up, we're going to go over our four teams that we think are going to be in the playoff. And I guess to kick things off, I'm going to go with the obvious one, the most obvious one. I think that they're probably all obvious. But Alabama, the defending champs, they just have a gold mine of talent all the time because Nick Saban recruits really well and they have that culture of winning that it makes it easy for guys to want to go there. Granted, they do sometimes have some issues, like this offseason, where Nick Saban kind of plays overlord and doesn't want to let guys leave the team to go somewhere else. But either way, the guys are still going, and they've got just so much talent all the time. So I believe that they'll make it back there. I think that maybe they'll lose their opening game against USC. It'll be a tough game either way. They might lose that one, but I don't see them losing more than a game. They could go undefeated and run the table and go back to the playoff. Who else? Who do you have on yours?
Well, I guess we'll just get the obvious one out of the way as well. Alabama, I think, obviously their reign over the SEC is not done, and I don't think it's going to be done in the near future either. So, so that's kind of one of the obvious ones. Maybe another one other team that I really like a lot, Florida State. I think with four games with ranked opponents, so it's a pretty decent schedule for when I was looking at it. I think it'll be interesting to see when they play Clemson at Florida State, because I've got Clemson in kind of on a condition that they beat.
So you're going to say the winner of, or the FSU better out of Clemson, those two, yeah. And probably the winner of their game.
They'll get in. Because obviously Clemson with Deshaun Watson, who I hope wins the Heisman, I think. But if they don't, if Clemson loses to FSU, then I think Louisiana State will get in. And then my fourth team is Ohio State. If they do well, their last little stretch of their schedule, because their last two games are Michigan State and Michigan,
which are both going to be tough games. Yeah. And
I think if they win both, they should definitely make it, because I've looked at their schedule. I don't see any other roadblocks potentially other than that. Yeah. So
who is your third team again?
It was conditional Clemson or LSU.
Wait, so who's your second?
Florida State.
I thought your conditional was Florida State or Clemson.
I think maybe that's just the way it is, because I have a bit more confidence in Florida State.
Okay, so to make it. So then who's the fourth team that you've got?
Ohio State was four. I think LSU was an if.
Oh, yeah, LSU.
Sorry, that was poorly explained on my part, but LSU was kind of the...
Okay, no, I just missed it for whatever reason. I have a bit different of a playoff picture. I have Stanford going. I think that just Christian McCaffrey is just so good, and the Pac-12 is just so good that if they can make it through there with only one loss, then you have to put them in. And I think Christian McCaffrey is going to carry this team on his back a lot. There's still a bunch of talent out there, and they're going to do an excellent job all around, I think. But I really expect them to come back with a vengeance, because we saw how good they were last year. Yeah, they dropped a couple games they shouldn't have, and that's why they didn't get in the playoffs last year. But then they turned around, and in the Rose Bowl, they annihilated Iowa, who barely lost to Michigan State. And so it really would have been awesome if they could have been in the playoff last year, but with only four teams, you couldn't really put them over the other four that were there. And this is something I want to jump into in a minute about, expanding the playoff. And before we do that, though, I want to get up to my last two picks. I've got Clemson and Oklahoma. And, for three out of the four, it's because of the main players, my Heisman candidates. Yeah. I think they're going to be on there. Clemson is still extremely stacked. They lost a couple pass rushers, and Shaq Lawson, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but they lost a couple good pass rushers. But they still have a lot of talent coming back. They've got Deshaun Watson coming back, who's going to win games by himself sometimes. I mean, obviously he's going to need help or whatever, but he's going to just take over, is what I mean. Not that he's going to do the entire game by himself, but he's just going to make plays that will win them games. And for Oklahoma, same thing with Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to have them win games. Another thing is, I don't think that the Big 12 is that strong. Yeah. And Oklahoma's kind of... they're going to be able to do pretty much what they want, I think, especially with Baylor being, having lost a bunch of people and being in the midst of their turnover because of the scandals involving them. That takes away one of their biggest competitors. I think the main problem will be TCU, but I think that they'll handle them. It'll be tight, but I think that they will get them. And so my final four are Stanford, Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma. And I guess... who do you have winning it all?
I'm going to go out kind of on a limb and say Ohio State.
Ohio State? I can see that happening.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, they have an edge. I would easily put them in the playoff as well.
I mean, I'm trying to, find an alternative to Alabama. So
yeah,
that's kind of where
I mean, Alabama's got so much talent, but I do believe that they won't repeat, because it's so hard to do. If anyone can do it, obviously it's them, but I also don't think they're going to win at all. I think that they'll lose in the first round this time and just kind of be surprised. I'm going to say that Clemson wins. They're going to come back a little bit more hungry because they were so close last year and just came up short. So I'm going to say that Clemson wins it. And I think that there are going to be some great games in the playoff either way. And it's going to be good. But I guess for the last, about 5 minutes, I do want to talk about the playoff and maybe expanding it a little bit. And really, I mean, right now it's at four teams, which is much improved over just the BCS championship.
Yeah, because nobody was ever happy.
I mean, the teams that won were.
Yeah. I mean, fans of the teams that won, but I think there was just always – I think it's really cool to finally put that sort of, well, the what-ifs to rest at least a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. Team playoff. And – but, I mean, it was a good step in the right direction, but that was it. It was just a step. And so I think that they need to expand it again to 8, and then maybe even to 16. That might be pushing it, but at least 8. Yeah. I think 8 would be a good number to try out for now.
Yeah.
Hopefully they could implement it like next year, the year after that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it would be good.
I've seen other levels do the 12 team with like the top 4 getting a bye.
Yeah, like with the NFL.
Yeah. I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, that'd be good. The only thing is like I don't – with it being as subjective as it is, I think that it wouldn't be fair to the teams involved to do it that way. With the NFL it's based off your record. There's no,
true
judgment calls or anything like that. You have your record, and then after that, you have tiebreakers. Okay. So you can get a bye. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, because there's all the scheduling considerations with college ball, though.
Yeah, right. And okay. There's scheduling considerations that it's very subjective. You could see that an Alabama team would be placed at number one with 2 losses, while say Stanford is undefeated and they're number 2 or whatever. Or they have 1 loss and we'll say they're number 5. And so they miss out on a bye, even though they have a better record than Alabama. So that's the problem with that. The problem with college football is just it's so subjective just because you don't have these teams playing each other. With the NFL, they have common opponents. Like, the odds are they've already played a few of the teams that they're going to go against in the playoffs. And so, really, I don't think that system would work. But I do think that, they should expand it to at least 8 and then have, twice as many games. You have the round of 8, and then after that you have the round of 4, and then 2 for the championship. So I think that would be a big improvement. And then maybe later on you could expand it to 16. But the benefit of doing it with 8 is you'll have your 5 power in your Power 5 conferences. The champion will be in there. And then you have 3 at-large bids. Well, actually, we'll say 1 will be the best of the mid-majors just so that they get represented. The group of 5, I guess, is what it's called. You have the best team from there, the highest-ranked team. And then you have 2 more at-large bids. And maybe there's another group of 6 team, but probably not. But, yeah, so I think that would be the best way to do it. You give a chance for the little guy to, make a run and win. And also you get the champion from each league. Because as it is, you get 4 out of 5 champions. It's not really it's not really ideal because then, what about the other, Power 5 champion? Because, maybe
they could have run the table. Yeah, I think if you won your conference, you should
get something out of that. It's like Stanford last year. Stanford won their conference, but they didn't have the opportunity to play in the playoff, and they probably would have won at least a couple or at least their first game there. They might have won it all, but we don't know because they weren't allowed to be there. And so I think that you have to have the representation from each conference, and you have a couple at-large bids to teams that just came up short on their conference ones that are still good enough to win it all. But really, that's kind of my 2 cents on it. Yeah. We're about out of time. Do you have any last words you want to say about it?
I think even just expanding it to 6, and obviously you're still running into the whole bye issue, but I think even 6, because that would allow, I guess maybe this year, some like Oklahoma and Stanford to still make it, like with what my predictions were.
Yeah.
Even with that, so I think even 6 would be a good move.
6 would definitely be an improvement, but I think for it to be really fair, you'd have to go with 8, and you don't get a bye because I mean. I don't know. I just don't feel like it's fair to give byes, not with how subjective things are. But we want to thank you guys for listening to The Bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. We are going to wish you guys a great weekend, and we will see you next week on Thursday.